The Border Patrol is presented by locally owned and operated Walker Uniform Service. For uniforms, industrial towels, mats, mops, and restroom products that enhance the look of your business, go to walkeruniform.com.
And the 2018 AP Most Valuable Player is...
Patrick Mahomes!
I'm truly honored to win the NFL's Most Valuable Player Award. When you look at this award, you see the rich history that it has. You see guys like Elway and Favre, Manning and Brady, and many more. And I'm so humbled that I can be sharing this prestigious honor with them. This season was special, and there was a lot of people that helped me get to this point. First, I just want to thank God, because without him, none of this would even be here. Next, I want to thank my family, my mom and dad, my brother and sister who aren't here, and my rock, Brittany, who keeps this show rolling every single day. I have to thank the Chiefs organization for believing in me, the Hunt family, Brett Veach, my coaches, Coach Reed, Coach Kafka, Coach Bieniemy, and most of all the players. I mean, they give me their all every single day, and this is an award for all of us. Thank you all.
After that, he had a very special message to Chiefs Kingdom that made me want to run through a wall for him. I hope he never asked me to, because I will. Totally will. I'll do it now, but I'm injured. So we'll have more. We'll have more of the speech played its entirety at 9:30. And we will also not play any of the Patriot sound. So sorry. Sorry, Jake. But we may replay.
Can we at least consider playing the Bob Kraft?
Okay.
Please. Because I
was he drunk?
There's something. There, right. He's not right on that. Okay. I mean,
all right.
He's with Tony Baselli at the end. Thanks for joining us, Bob. And he just keeps talking okay. And talking. And then back to you, Scott.
Sold. I'll take it. Probably more exciting than the game.
Right.
We will talk to Sam Ellinger from the Kansas City Star now. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Doing well.
Watch
how are
your
you?
Step. Watch your step.
Uh-oh.
We'll build up. Let's get your thoughts.
Jake threatened me as soon as I walked in the building.
Let's get your thoughts on the 13-3 fireworks show that we saw for Super Bowl.
Yeah, not much. You know what I will say? I'll say this. It was more interesting with Tony Romo doing the broadcast.
Sure it was.
That guy is so good at his job. And, you know, there were just parts where, like, just a play didn't work. And, you know, you're just kind of watching. You're talking to some people that you're watching the game with. You're not really paying attention. But then you see Romo break it down about how, you know, Belichick had that plan. Watch, these guys are just waiting for this route. They know what's coming. And it's more interesting that way.
They should decline the penalty because they don't give them another down and the clock will stop anyway. Little things that like hardcore football fans know, but just like the casual fan, or even there's some pretty good football fans that maybe don't know everything that Tony Romo knows and that he's willing to tell you, because I don't think he talks down to the viewer. I think he does a great job of educating you about the game, bringing up some really interesting points that even if you're an avid football fan, you may not think about right then. It's phenomenal.
He strikes the right tone. He combines the childlike enthusiasm of some of the great analysts, like Dick Vitale. I always do appreciate that Dick Vitale seems to genuinely love every second of being in a college basketball game. But there's not really any analysis. Mm-hmm. There's not any, like, it's not helping you understand the game any better at all. It's just, oh, what a diaper dandy! Yeah. I'm like, there's nothing there. Tony Romo seems to
be... Sauce in your mouth is better than on your chin!
That kind of stuff is good insight. Mm-hmm. But Tony Romo has that childlike enthusiasm for the game. Like, he is giddy to be there. He's enjoying every minute of it. Yet he's also breaking the game down for you at a higher level that helps you understand, like, why can't Goff find anybody open here? What is his problem in this game? And he actually lays it out for you
Who
and explains it in a way you can understand.
When we were touting Tony Romo last year, and someone, I feel like, who do we have on the show? Like, Well, it's Tony Romo, man. I'm tired of everyone just, you know, loving him up. He's not that good. He's overrated. Who and we were just like, we were all like, what is wrong with you?
Somebody else was like, this Santa Claus overrated. Tired of him. Bringing presents all the time.
He's fabulous. Jake says he's the GOAT. Greatest color commentator for football he's ever seen.
Damn. That's a hell of a thing.
I couldn't think of somebody better off the top of my head.
It's his second season, and that was my point. It's like, this guy came in, and in 2 years...
Who's better?
No, right.
I mean, you know that there's nothing that brings me more joy on this show than proving Jake wrong about something or contradicting him in some way. So I was racking my brain, and I'm like, I can't think of anybody I like better.
Like, I would be excited just because of my age and because of my obsession with the Madden video games, whenever Pat Summerall and John Madden would do a game, this is like the video game.
Totally.
Let me sit here. But at a certain point, you know, the John Madden was, you know, boom! You know, and that's, or when he talk about players dealing with injuries.
Yeah, massaging.
He would try to get in depth and give you some stuff that maybe the average football fan wouldn't know, but sometimes it would kind of,
he was massaging himself right there in the parking lot, and he said he loved it.
Yeah, this guy.
He's massaging himself in the parking lot. I swear.
I mean, that is...
where's the stick?
Tommy Harris, the defensive lineman, had this big thing that looked like a stick, and he was carrying it around. And I said, what the heck is that? And he said, it's a massager. And he said, you just roll it like on your leg like this, and it massages the leg. And he showed it, and I said, does it work? He said, heck yes, it works. And he's massaging himself in the parking lot. I swear.
That's good. That's real good.
It's hard to top that.
Hey,
that is insane.
That's real good. But it's not Tony Romo. But I'll say that's Hall of Fame level right there. You know, because you're why. And then all of a sudden, like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nor would I have ever guessed it. But I know.
Tell me more about this big stick.
He had a stick like this that he was carrying.
Yeah.
And it had like balls on it all the way down. And then I said, what is it? He said, it's a massager. So he'd take it and put it on his thigh and just go like this, up and down his thigh, then on this thigh, and then on the back. And he said it worked. And he was massaging himself right there in the parking lot. And he said he loved it.
Tony Romo's got a ways to get to before he reaches that
during
level.
A game.
Oh, I never heard that.
I couldn't get that audio to him fast enough. I was like fumbling my phone. Jake,
I'm like, I'm watching.
Record, show, play, tape, sound, Madden, stick.
Like that was from, wow, that was from
Tommy Harris.
Yeah, 2005.
So how good was that Super Bowl? Well, we spent the whole time breaking down John Madden's play-by-play.
Right. From 14 years ago.
Here we got Dickie V in
there. And I get it. People, you know, there's people out there that are just gonna take the opposite side because that's what they do. You know, the defense. You know what? That was a lot about bad quarterback play.
Yeah.
Jared Goff was clueless.
The interception was horrendous.
And there were a lot, and he missed a lot of open receivers, and the missed touchdown pass where he had a guy alone that could have been selling hot dogs in the end zone and didn't throw until late and allowed McCourty to catch it. That was a touchdown.
Totally.
That was a touchdown.
On the broadcast, and this is what they should be doing, right? But on the broadcast, they kept talking about what a great play it was by McCourty. And they should be. It was a good play.
What a terrible play
by
Goff.
That ball should have been there a second and a half earlier. And then McCourty gets there just in time to see Brandon Cooks. It was Cooks,
just
right?
Unbelievable.
See Brandon Cooks, you know, do a celebration. That was bad.
If your wide receiver is 50 yards downfield, standing in the back of the end zone in place waiting for the ball to get there, you didn't throw it soon enough.
Yeah.
You
know,
he was, and we talked about this earlier, it makes it even look better, the adjustments that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes made at halftime. Because, hey, they shut out the Chiefs, but they came out, made the adjustments, and Mahomes was fantastic. I think they could have been out there for another, like I said, 4 to 8 quarters, and Goff was never, he may never make those adjustments.
There was another, there's always been part of me, and I know I'm not the only one to think this, that Goff is kind of a system quarterback.
Oh, I'm
in
with
the NFL, you know, and that was an example of it, right?
He got exposed last night.
Yeah, the system wasn't working, and he crumbled instead of rose to the challenge. There was another play. I know we could do this the whole hour.
Let's do it the whole hour.
But there was another play. Was it the last drive, the second to last drive, where he threw it deep down the left sideline.
Second and 22.
And he had the receiver wide open. Yeah, and Romo said, "That's
oh my god,
there it was."
Yeah, and there was just a lot of stuff like that, man.
right? And look, the Patriots played very good defense because they shut down the Chargers until that game was out of reach in the divisional round. They shut out the Chiefs in the first half. Chiefs worked them in the second, but they got, you know, that was what they did defensively led the Chiefs defense to spending too much time on the field in the first half, and so they get full credit for that. And then they shut down the Rams, and the Rams, Sean McVay was out coached, but boy, Jared Goff was just awful.
He was
just awful.
I would also say, you know, Julian Edelman won MVP, and that's fine. He deserved whatever. But I thought Gilmore may have been like the best player on the field.
Absolutely.
That guy was incredible.
I thought he should have got the MVP. For me, incredible. After the game, I was like, yeah, I would have given it. You knew it wasn't going to go to him because Edelman's numbers. But but Gilmore was a stud.
He was one-on-one.
All day long, and he was just shutting them down. I mean, they got nothing on him.
I will say this, not just Gilmore. I mean, there was some tremendous defensive back play in that Super Bowl. Like, there were times when guys were open and quarterbacks missed open receivers, but there were a lot of throwing the ball to a receiver and defensive backs with fantastic coverage breaking plays up. You know, and that's a hard, like, we understand, like, in today's NFL how hard that is to do.
Sure.
Like, you're not allowed to be very physical with receivers. You can't touch the quarterbacks. All
they
those
were
things.
Letting them play, though, too, yesterday.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, they were.
There were some grabbing and pulling going on both sides, and they were letting it go, which is almost the exact opposite of what they did all season long.
Right, and that helped the Patriots for sure because the Patriots, you know, really were physical. But still, I thought, I mean, like, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters made some tremendous plays in the secondary, breaking up passes, you know. So, I mean, I guess if you're looking for a positive or looking for something that was like actual good play on the field, and the defensive linemen on both sides. I mean, Aaron Donald had some great moments, and defensive front for the Patriots
look, the
were
Chiefs defense,
dominant. But.
I never want to defend their performance this year, but I saw a lot of plays last night by defensive backs that the Chiefs defensive backs got flagged for.
So yeah, I've been reading Ian O'Connor's book on Bill Belichick, and it's terrific. And one of the points they make in that book is that of all the subtle things that Belichick does so well, he exploits exactly what we're talking about better than any other coach. That he knows that the officials are told and motivated to call the games like they did last night, to call the games like they did, you know, like in the playoffs. It's just, it's different from, you know, we always talk about in the preseason. Remember the Passanio play in Chicago in the preseason? Is that going to be a penalty in the regular season? I don't remember. Clay Matthews, I guess, had one, but certainly not with the Chiefs. I don't really remember a play like that happening and being called in the regular season. It changes again in the playoffs. And the point that the book's making is Belichick, more than any other coach in NFL history, has exploited that. And I think we saw that. Saw it in the Rams. You know, their point was in the Rams Super Bowl and the first Rams Super Bowl and a couple others. They beat you up. Can't call everything. Won't call everything. The NFL doesn't want the Super Bowl to be about officials. And Belichick's the best at that.
Do you guys – I was very proud of my tweet because when you're going to complain about the halftime show, you should at least have a better alternative. And I believe that I provided everyone with a better alternative. Do you guys think the halftime show would have been better had Red Panda performed on stage while Bob Huggins read the halftime stats over the PA system?
Yes.
While Bob Huggins read what?
Stats. Like he does in his post-game press conferences when they lose.
How many punts do we have? Like, oh, my God.
Punt.
34 fouls.
Punt. Punt.
Three and out.
Punt. I mean, I don't think they want to win. Oh, God. And when Red Panda stacking dishes on a unicycle.
No knock on them, but everybody shoots a high percentage against us.
Right there.
We suck.
There you go. That's the halftime show that I want. Absolutely. So were you entertained by the halftime show? Did you like that? Was it better or worse than the game?
Better because Big Boy.
Okay.
I like that.
What if Bob Huggins took his shirt off and showed his nipples like Adam Levine?
A-plus.
Miserable.
Take it to another level.
What about SpongeBob? Do you think SpongeBob should have performed longer? Because I'm searching for good things from
right. No, I mean, you've always been an optimist.
Right.
And I appreciate that about you. You know, was it like, so I watched, I was kind of sick yesterday, so I went home after halftime, but we were at the, you know, like a neighborhood watch party or whatever, and the halftime show was still the part of, you know, the show or whatever that the most people were paying attention to. Still had that, even, right. You know, with as much as we can make fun of Maroon 5. And it's just, it like,
people
Maroon
pay attention
5,
to car wrecks too, Sam, when they're driving by. They just that's true. Have to look.
That's true. Not my thing, Maroon 5. Although one of those songs, I was like, oh my God, that was theirs. That was
what
a long
is your
time
thing?
Ago.
What if you could pick, what would you like to see for the halftime show?
I mean, it'd be like Black Keys. All
right.
But that'd be, you know,
I'm just curious.
It's a very narrow audience that they would have.
But people that like
but
music.
Big Boy would still have an appearance.
People that like musicians like that are good.
Right. Would Big Boy's appearance last like 20 seconds?
Right. It would be much longer. But he would come in that same car.
Yeah,
that was, cool. Was awesome.
Here we go.
Do you have any final comments?
This is my
on the Super Bowl
right
because
here.
We're going to take a break and it's not going to be pretty in here.
How good would this be at halftime?
I'd be all for
it. It would actually rock.
Here we go.
You know?
I'd be all for
so
it.
So then you could have Black Keys and then Jack White comes out. They both perform and then they fight each other because they hate each other.
Yeah. I like it.
Right?
Yeah.
And be some music. There could be some drama, a little
fighting.
Violence thrown in there. So.
I'll
else?
Say this. Yeah, I will say this. This may or may not lead into something we're going to talk about later in the show. It sounds really dumb and weird because the Chiefs were 0-3 against those teams. I think the Chiefs are better than those teams. That was the thought that I kept having in my head.
I'll say this.
And it's so dumb. They lost to those teams three times.
I don't want to say this because it hurts me, but I'm convinced that the Chiefs would have beat the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yes.
They would have.
I believe that.
But we are discounting. We're forgetting how just got off. I mean, while that game does highlight how great the combination of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes is, because they were able to put up so many points against both of those teams, it also does highlight just how inept this defense was.
For sure.
That they couldn't even slow down either one of those teams. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even slow them down.
There's every chance, though, that Jared Goff just laid a turd because it was a Super Bowl and it was just too big for him.
Just nervous,
he did seem like the nerves and the stage got to him. He was panicky for much of the game.
Were you shocked when they talked about? I think Romo mentioned this that his middle name is actually Bortles.
Wow,
Jerry Goff.
It's a weird middle name.
I never think. Wow.
I just wonder if like once you, it's a tall order, right? But like if you can neutralize Todd Gurley a little bit. And then make Jared Goff beat you.
Sean McVay did that.
Yeah, I was going to say, he really...
That's true, too.
What the hell?
I don't know.
Explain that to me.
Is he hurt? He's got to be hurt.
He says no.
Right.
And he
that's what he says. That's what he says.
A couple of times, right? But I mean...
He looked like... I mean, especially on that the longest run he had of the day with the holding penalty, which was late.
Yeah.
And he looked... I mean, he popped that off.
Yeah. But that looked like the best. So if you ever were going to use Todd Gurley and run him into the ground in a game, it's a game that was 3-0.
Yeah.
3-3, always a one-score game.
It's built for
and
it.
And when your quarterback, you see him crumbling under the pressure.
Crap in the bed, yeah.
And so I take it. So even if it wasn't going to be Todd Gurley, I would have given C.J. Anderson 20 carries. They ended up throwing the ball 38 times and running the ball. Like Anderson had 7, Gurley had 10 in that game.
Yeah, that's bad.
Where it was always either scoreless or a 3-point game, and then tied, and by the time it was, it got even when they were down 7, you still had a shot.
Yeah,
that was bizarre to me.
Hecker got his run though,
right? It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if there's ever a game where you play hurt,
yeah,
it's a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but it didn't appear that it was his choice.
Yeah, though. I mean, no. He looked like he was visibly angry on the sideline.
But I wonder if McVay thought he's banged up, so we're going to use him sparingly.
Then run the ball more with Anderson.
Right, 17.
I mean, Anderson never looked like he had any chance of breaking off those kind of runs that Gurley was breaking off.
But still, 7 carries for a guy. I mean, who's going to get it rolling? I mean, my point is, but what was the better option?
Yeah.
You couldn't do anything
throwing
with Goff.
Was not, yeah.
I mean, Romo
you couldn't do anything.
Yeah. Romo kept saying that they needed to throw on first down and then run after that. In the first half, they kept trying to run on first down. They didn't get anything, and then they were putting Goff in second and long, and he was just
how about run on all 3 downs a couple times?
Yeah. Romo was.
I mean, you're punting anyways every possession.
That's a running football team that lives off play action, and if you are just going to drop back and be predictable, they can't beat you. Hey, that's exactly what Romo said, and I feel like he had a pretty good handle on it. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Tony Gonzalez, because based on what I see on Twitter, and basically like hurt my ear.
Who are we gonna talk about?
We have. I'm not
phony Gonzalez.
Oh, come on!
Not Tony, phony.
We got guys on the two ends of the spectrum here, and we're gonna find out if we can make harmony in a world of difference after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You know what, Falcons? Honestly, it made my career to come here. It really did. Nothing against Kansas City. I was there 12 years, but only 3 playoff games. But when I got to Atlanta, it's like all of a sudden now you're part of this winning organization. We're on TV every week now. I'm doing Monday night football, Sunday night football games. I love it here. I love being back here.
Fans, Tony Gonzalez here. I'm apologizing. I did not send this video out yesterday, but I was in Atlanta, and of course it was all pretty much Atlanta reporters, and they put the video and said, send it out to the Atlanta Falcon fans. But now it's your turn. Kansas City Chief fans, I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you. The 12 years I spent there were fantastic. I always tell people I became a man, obviously on the field, but off the field as well out in Kansas City, and the fan support that I had.
Turn that off. Thank you. Thank you. Now, see, what happened was I didn't know Twitter went everywhere. I thought it only went to Atlanta, and then, hold on. You apologize right now. Get on that camera. Hey, Chiefs fans, this is for you. Sincere, hey. All right, thanks. Bye. Is Mi Casino still open? Nope. What? Not coming back then. Bye.
But he became a man in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, I'm still waiting for that to happen to me.
On and off the field.
So,
boom.
Part of the reason why there was such backlash, number one, he had a tweet before that recently, this week, of him dunking the ball over the crossbar in a Falcons uniform at Arrowhead. And it was, you know, the wording. It appears that Tony, whoever tweets for him or whatever else, is tone deaf as to how people would take these things. And I get it, why people are upset. Now, if I wouldn't have seen all the reaction on Twitter, I would have had just like no reaction to this, because for me, that's par for that golf course. Having covered him for a while at the end of his career, and that seems what Tony Gonzalez would say and do. So big deal, but people were really upset and hurt by that, because you pair that with a tweet. And this coming a few weeks after he was inducted in the Chiefs Hall of Fame, it felt like to fans that he was just, you know, taking a crap on the Chiefs fans. And I get that. People could react or feel any way that they want to about this. Like I said, it doesn't have any effect on me, because that doesn't surprise me at all that he would say something like this or feel anything like this. I'm not taking it to the extent that Jake is, as Jake is parading around shouting phony Gonzalez. J.J. Burden was the best 88 ever. Just like a lot of things like that.
True story.
A lot of things happening. Nate, I will not speak
Carlos
to you.
Carson was the best 88 ever,
How
by
do you
the
feel
way.
About this?
I'm on your page. I can't be hurt by somebody who I have little expectations of. And I think that what this really boils down to is Tony's still mad that Randy Kovacs once ruined his $5,000 suit.
Red Sharpie.
I think he's bitter
every
about
time.
That. And, he's taking it out on the Kansas City fans, and that's really unfair to everybody is what I think.
Was it a red Sharpie?
I don't know. It was a pen of
Was that an on-air story to tell?
I don't know. It happened in front of.
I think Lebo
told
it.
It happened in front of dozens of reporters.
I don't think it ever went,
Well, it is now.
Right.
Oh, poor COVID.
Maybe ask Randy.
Randy's a good man.
That's exactly right. That's why I would, before I drag his name through the mud. Now you've taken a shot at Randy, and I don't understand why. go ahead, Sam.
My reaction was, I guess, tinged with what you guys have been talking about with Gonzalez and his past and all that stuff. But I also feel like what I heard him saying is, he gave his best years to an organization that turned out to not be worth it. Like, what I mean by that is, I've said this, I've written this a lot, that I don't think there's an organization in the NFL that has, and maybe this is beginning to change, maybe this is part of the magic of Patrick Mahomes, but I don't think there's an organization in the NFL that has a bigger gap between where it sees itself historically and what it actually is historically.
There's from the organization or the fans?
Organization. From the organization, the ownership, the front office, institutional. I'm not talking about Andy Reid or Brett Veach or, you know, those guys. I'm talking about, like, institutionally as an organization. I think they see themselves as the Steelers or the Giants or the Cowboys, and they are much closer. If you look at postseason record, they are much closer to the Browns and the Lions and the Bengals. And what I heard in what he said, and part of it too, like he said he was in Atlanta and is, you know, Nate, I think he said in the last hour, maybe he didn't realize that the internet went all the way to Kansas City. but what I heard him saying is a frustration that he gave his best years to a franchise that turned out to just not be worth it. That, you know, and then he went to Atlanta and, you know, he won one playoff game there, right?
Stunning success.
But had four straight years where they were winning every year, winning records every year. And he never had that in Kansas City. The whole time that he was a starter in Kansas City, he played on four winning teams in 11 years as a starter. So I get where he's coming from on that. I think he's, you know, I mean this a little bit tongue in cheek, but he's like, you know, he's speaking his truth.
Have some tact. Have some tact.
Do you think that his time in Atlanta made his career?
No, that was dumb.
That's not true.
Yeah, there was a. I also think what happened is, you know, we can joke about it. And it was stupid, but I think that this was a genuine stupidity on his part that he was speaking to Atlanta reporters and trying to sort of patronize Atlanta fans. And now,
that's the name Phony Gonzalez.
The internet goes to Kansas City, and now I'm going to send this other video where I'm going to patronize Chiefs fans.
Right, and that's why it's not surprising at all, because that's...
Right.
That's.
But I do think that how he believes in his heart, like, if you were just, you know, having lunch with him or a beer or whatever, like, I think he's... What he said in the video that got everybody upset about, you know, finally got to a winning organization and all that stuff, I really believe that's how he feels.
Well, and to be honest with you, like, it doesn't hurt me either, because I don't... I never was that big of a Tony Gonzalez fan. Like, for Jake, it's personal because he cared a lot about Tony Gonzalez. I associate him with a losing era of Chiefs football. Mm-hmm. I don't, like...
But he was, like, the only bright spot in that era.
And, like, I had a soft spot in my... I was a huge Carlos Carson fan as a kid because I was a kid and he was a good player on a bad team. So I liked, you know, Carlos Carson a lot. But, like... I kind of put Tony Gonzalez in that same category. Obviously, he had a much better career than Carlos Carson. But, you know, the Chiefs had a couple good teams while he was here. And it's not all his fault. I just don't I don't put him in the same category. Like, all those Chiefs from the 90s that played on teams that won every single year, they're in one spot. And Tony Gonzalez, like, occupied a spot where the Chiefs, he was a good player on a bad team. I don't really care that much. If he wants to go to the Hall of Fame as a Falcon, I don't care.
This also wasn't the Browns being in last place for 12 years. He played in his rookie year. He went right to the divisional round of the playoffs, and they lost to the Broncos. You know, he was part of, he said the only bright spot. Well, I mean, he was there with Priest Holmes and a couple of Hall of Famers on the offensive line and Trent Green, and that was a fantastic offense. You know, I mean, they were 13-3. They lost in the playoffs again, but I mean, there have been players that played for 12 years or 13 years.
That's not fair to Will Shields. Horrible. That's not fair for me to say bright spot.
Yeah. I mean, there were
right, but I know you don't mean it literally, like the only bright spot, but I feel like that's part of where he's coming from. Is I gave this, you know, first ballot Hall of Fame career, and that wasn't my fault, you know? Like, I was playing my ass off, and we got nothing from it. I think there's a little bit of bitterness.
But that's, okay, I get that. But made my career?
No, he shouldn't have said that. That was a dumb thing to say.
But I guess...
It's a ridiculous thing to say.
Right. And I guess
it's factually inaccurate.
That's where.
But the other part of it is he won one playoff game with the Falcons.
Right.
It's not like he won a.
He was one and three with the Super Bowl.
It was a dumb thing to say, for sure.
And it's just like, I guess this is what, like, I understand what Tony Gonzalez is. I'm aware of who he is and the stories that are around, and I've seen it firsthand. But it's like, hey, man. Have some tact. Have some intellect. Like, know your audience. Know what you're doing.
I think that also, and so here's what I will say. I think that his comments come from how he feels about the organization. Like you're saying, that how he feels about the organization. But it's the kids. it's the children in the, as mom and dad are fighting about the divorce, it's the kids that feel like they're getting blamed. Yeah. The fans, it feels like he was taking a shot at the fans after the tweet earlier. That was a bizarre tweet as well. Did you see that tweet?
Yeah,
when it was, it was essentially, oh, it feels great to be back in Atlanta. Let me post this picture of me in a Falcons uniform dunking on the crossbarred Arrowhead.
Yeah.
So it was like a weird tone. Like,
there was a lot of Atlanta pictures he could have chosen.
Right. It just feels like there's something there. Fans were emotional and took it as he's taking a shot at Kansas City and the fans. Well, I think maybe the issue that he had was with someone in the organization that's still there or maybe not there.
I think that's exactly what it is. I think how is he going to be mad at Chiefs fans? Like, what did Chiefs fans ever do? Like, I just find that premise.
But then have a little respect for
what
the
he
fans.
Said was stupid. Right.
Well, it's disrespectful.
Yes. Well, I'm not defending that at all. What I'm saying is I think that he feels genuinely like, not that the Chiefs screwed him.
No.
But just that he gave more than he got.
He's on a pity pot.
He gave more than he got and is angry that, look, I was a first ballot Hall of Famer for and had a long career peak with that team, and they couldn't get enough help around me to do better. I think that's the point that I think he believes that in his heart, and he has some bitterness for it.
Okay.
Well, said a really dumb thing.
Right.
Like, I'm not,
and you know, if you're going to say that, then you should be criticized for it.
Totally. Yeah. Criticize him.
And he should understand why there's some backlash from Chiefs fans.
Right.
You have to be some kind of self-awareness, it's just.
Yeah.
But that's why I say I'm not surprised whatsoever.
Yeah. You know what else is weird about that, too, is he's in a media job,
His
job is to speak.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's. I don't think he's particularly good at his job. I'm not just saying that like to prove a point here. I think he's fine or whatever. But if like this is a moment where if he didn't have that job, part of my feeling would be, he's a football player.
Right.
He's not like a speaker. You have to lower the bar on what you expect or whatever. But literally his job now.
And I think that's the frustrating part is how can you be so inept?
Yeah.
How can you be so, it's just okay. But and I guess it's like the apology after the fact was just it's like salt on the wound. It's like that's terrible too. You should have just gone away, and this might have gone away.
Shouldn't have said anything. Yeah,
right.
That was totally like my mom's making me do this.
I mean, that's exactly what Steven's like. Yeah, I might have to go apologize to the kid, that I just punched.
If there was a person holding a gun off camera, it would have made more sense. Is that good now? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Good. That'll take care of them.
Yeah.
But so. And look, it's his right, and he wanted out of town because he asked for a trade.
Yep.
He wanted, and there are people that didn't love that, and that's fine. He's every right to want to go play someplace else, but all I'm saying is then you have to understand why fans were upset about it.
Totally, I get it. Yeah,
and I do back up Steven's point that like this idea that somehow he became a winner in Atlanta. I mean, were any of those Falcons teams any better than the team that he played on with Trent Green and Priest Holmes and all those guys?
They won
a
playoff game.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, again, I could completely understand it if he went and won a Super Bowl somewhere else and said, that made my career.
Absolutely.
Okay, fair enough,
that's
man. You won a Super Bowl somewhere?
So I'll give an example.
Absolutely.
Because it hurt me, because he was one of my favorite players, and it still hurts me to think about it. But if Neil Smith would have rolled one of those out, like, well.
You can't argue
he
it.
He did go win a Super Bowl. Yeah. And so that would make your career if you won a Super Bowl somewhere.
I would not be upset if he said that in Neil Smith's situation because you can't argue it.
See,
he left and he got a championship.
Yeah, and that one hurts more to me because it's true and because like, man, we let that guy go.
But here to this
you
point.
You know, like as opposed to like Tony Gonzalez, the other thing about it
I think Neil Smith is smart enough not to say something like that though because he knows Kansas City's fans. But that's how extreme it is.
It could have been because Tony was excited.
Right,
about it. But,
right.
But
Neil still lives here too, right?
Or
he's got more of a presence.
I don't think anybody ever felt like Tony Gonzalez was going to come back to Kansas City for more than a second here or there than he had to after his career was over. And the thing I guess is he wanted the trade, right? He wanted out.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they said okay. Well, you know what? this is what you want. You put in a great time. Like, I don't think the organization did poorly.
They traded him to a winning team. They only sent him to a good situation.
Yeah,
right?
Like,
they took care of him.
I don't get that either, because there's some other guys where it could be like, man, they screwed me over. You know, yeah. They said, okay, you want to go try to play somewhere else? You can win. We'll do that for you. We're in a rebuilding situation right here, right now. You know,
see, it's like the tweet from 3 days ago. It's bizarre. It's like he decides to send this picture. Sorry to all my Chiefs fans. You know I love you, but being in Atlanta for Super Bowl has got me thinking of the good old days. Atlanta Falcons, TBT, and then a picture of him in a Falcons uniform at Arrowhead. It's like, what what's that for? And that's what, you know what I mean? So it's like there's some animosity there.
Yeah, and because there's so many other easy ways to do that. Like, boy, I had two great chapters in my career, and one of those was in Atlanta.
Right.
So this reminds me of a great part of my career. Being back right now.
Or just...
You can say that without saying the whole, sorry to my Chiefs fans and at Arrowhead.
I played for two class organizations, and being in Atlanta reminds me of my time here in Atlanta, and it was a great experience. It's disappointing, but I guess it's fitting, and you know, that's who he is, and I guess this is what he deserves. Fans ripping on him.
Well, he's getting that. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake is being soft.
What?
Josh says, I'm just sad that I'm part of a fan base that so easily gets their feelings hurt. He didn't actively disrespect Chiefs fans. Chiefs fans only feel disrespected because we're being soft babies. Soft baby.
So what? I'm a soft baby.
Well, I could have told you that.
Right.
Before this thing.
I'm just disappointed in a guy I used to really root for and was a fan of growing up, and you know.
Root for the best tight end in Chiefs history.
I will.
Kelsey.
I absolutely will.
Sam Ehlinger, you tell me, now what do you do with your time? Football's over, huh?
Yeah.
You giving
baseball,
it up?
Baseball can't. No.
Oh, sorry.
No. Baseball should hurry up. I'm actually, I'm one of the few maybe, but I'm excited about the Royals. I think it'll be an interesting season.
Be specific.
I think that we are in the beginning stages of what could be one of the best careers in Royals history with Adalberto. I still can't say it right.
No, you sure you
with
can.
With that guy Mondesi. You know, I really think that we're it. This is it, you know. And look, like the plate discipline may sink him. You know, that's a possibility. But I think this guy is otherworldly talented. And, you know, even if the Royals go, you know, 72-90 or whatever, and I think there's a really good chance that he has, you know, the best season that a shortstop has ever had for the Royals. Low bar, I get it. But I think he's that kind of a talent. If nothing else was around him, I'd be excited to see him. But there's a lot around him.
What else are you excited? Give me two more things. I'm excited to see if Brad Keller can follow up his success of his rookie year.
Totally. Brad Keller... I think that, you know, some of it's a little, you know, Terrence Gore's probably not going to play that much, but they have so much speed in that outfield. Like they're going to cover a lot of ground. There's going to be some highlight plays. I'm interested to see, you know, whether Ryan O'Hearn is real.
What Royals rookie do you think would you put your money on to either repeat their success or even get better? Brad Keller or Ryan O'Hearn?
Keller. I think Keller's real. I think O'Hearn might be, but I think Keller... he did it the whole year, you know, like that wasn't like a half a season.
Bullpen and the rotation.
Yeah. And I'm looking at his numbers now is, you know, 140 innings, which isn't 200 innings, but he's still, you know, there were all these questions and he's got to repeat it. Sophomore slump, all that stuff. But you know, whether the low strikeout rate was going to, you know, be a big deal for him, but he got around it and he found a way to get more ground balls. I mean, I think he's real. I think to be able to get a guy like that, 22 years old, you know, big frame that, you know, throws hard, you know, in a Rule 5 draft
is
pretty remarkable.
Just in case O'Hearn's not real, should they sign Lucas Duda right before the season starts?
No.
I am excited to see if O'Hearn's real.
So you're not looking forward to bridging the gap till baseball season with this Big 12 basketball race?
Dude, I was just talking about this with a friend the other day. Like, I can't remember being less interested in a college basketball season.
Why?
And I don't know if it's like Patrick Mahomes hangover.
Yep.
I don't know if it's because it all sucks. Three local teams are not quite as good as you probably would have expected. There's a lot of possible reasons. I'm going to write about, you know, the D'Souza stuff this week. I'm going to make some calls and kind of.
I was just going to ask you if all that stuff takes down your level of interest in college athletics right now. What's happened to Missouri? What's happened with Kansas? The FBI stuff.
A little bit. It's weird because you know that stuff exists. You know that the NCAA sucks. But like when it happens back to back, two local schools like that, like you know, one's Thursday, one's Friday. You know, it's a reminder. You know, it's a reminder for sure. But I don't know how many times that's ever happened that the NCAA is like so far overreached 2 days, at least in my opinion, like, you know, 2 days in a row on, you know, two schools that, you know, kind of share the same city. That's
what happened.
Disheartening, man.
How about the back to back Big Monday turds that the Big 12s rolled out there? Yeah, Monday was both games were awful and unwatchable. TCU at Texas Tech was 84-65 Tech, and then Baylor at Oklahoma 77-47. Yeah. So tonight, here's your Big Monday doubleheader. How about West Virginia at Texas Tech, dog?
That looked like a good one before the season started.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it's awful.
Yep. I'm miserable.
Iowa suck. State at Oklahoma. Oklahoma decent. Looked so good, though. Yeah, looked so good last week at Iowa home. You really want to see him on Big Monday again.
Well, I like Iowa State, but that game's going to be in Norman, so you know that atmosphere is really going to be rocking. Right, I mean, fans, a couple of them will show
we
up.
Suck.
Last week it was
cheer.
Baylor at Oklahoma in Norman, and it was 77-47.
The two most compelling games in the entire league, one of them already happened, Kansas at Iowa State.
Tomorrow
and
night.
And the other one is tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Who is going to win the Sunflower Showdown? Sam Ellinger.
I think if K-State doesn't win this, they got some issues.
This is your chance to be bold.
All right, Sunflower Showdown.
Well, is that bold? Is K-State going to be favored in the game?
I don't know.
I would think so.
Have you ever heard anyone able to sum up the excitement of the Sunflower Showdown like Charlie Weiss? Anybody. Name someone.
What'd he say?
Well, listen. Just listen how beautiful it is.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
We got a couple
to me, that's, you know. That's like minutes before 2. All
right. Captures the intensity of it right there.
It's really disappointing. Right. Like, you know, you feel bad for Charlie Weiss, right? Like, I put his heart and soul into that job. Yeah. And just,
still
we are talking about K-State.
See,
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
As he's swimming in his pools of coins like Scrooge McDuck.
Sterilize this.
Sunflower
Showdown.
Like Dom DeLuise in History of the World.
You know that?
Just
which is your favorite drop that he's played for you?
We are talking about K-State.
Been a lot of them.
It's got to be the.
Can that top John Madden? I don't.
No,
think
No, it's
so.
Got to be the bad thing. Right. But I mean, like comparatively, Tony Gonzalez is like Kansas City Chamber of Commerce compared to Charlie Weiss. You know what I mean? Like Charlie.
I don't know. Dickie V was pretty.
Sauce in your mouth is better than your chin.
Some of us enjoy the work Charlie Weiss did.
Can we maybe find out how K-State's going to play if they are a wounded animal right now from Bruce Weber?
Sam, I encourage you to leave.
You know, I mean, we got to get equal airplay here for all
you're a
sports.
Wounded animal. How do you come? You come angry? You come...
Wounded animals.
Kansas was kind of a wounded animal.
They come angry.
Have you ever considered yourself an enabler on this show? You are. Because your laughs are giving him fuel.
Encouraging him. Yeah. I have a feeling Jake would be doing this
right.
Regardless of me sitting in my chair right now.
I don't think
he's massaging himself in the parking lot. I swear.
I don't think... he doesn't care if we laugh, but it pleases him to make you laugh so much.
It really does.
It really gives him a pep in his step. So
Kansas was kind of a wounded animal this weekend, and they came angry.
Animal, how do you come? You come angry, you come...
And they did. They put it to Texas Tech.
Well, Sunflower Showdown tomorrow. I could tell you it's going to be better than the Super Bowl.
I'll be there.
When do you leave?
I'll just head up tomorrow afternoon, you know. Meet in Wassenburg for dinner.
You going out there?
Yeah.
But you go out to dinner with him in Wassenburg.
Who's Wassenburg?
Right.
Oh, exactly. You don't know Wassenburg?
I don't know.
You don't know Manhattan if you don't know Wassenburg.
Oh, Wass.
That's what everybody called him in college. Wass.
Oh, Wassy.
Last time I went up there with Wassenburg, Rustin Dodd and I shared a dinner together, and some gentlemen came up to him and offered him a shot.
Did he take it?
Yes.
I had dinner with Rustin on Friday.
Tell him the quick backstory on Wassenburg's allegiances here.
Yeah. Wassenburg went to KU.
Jayhawk.
But he's got significant financial business dealings in Manhattan tied to K-State.
So he wears some purple.
He'll be wearing some purple on tomorrow night.
A businessman.
He's a capitalist.
Yeah, that's right.
He's not a businessman.
Who are you rooting for?
Business.
Business. Hey, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense.
I'm rooting for money.
Are you going to go home and watch a replay of the Super Bowl now?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
You are Coach's professional. Film. Thank you. Nice. All 22s are going to be
halftime show
glorious.
On Loose.
Thank you very much, Sam Ellinger.
All right, guys.
That is Sam Ellinger from the Kansas City Star. I'll be right back after this on WHB.